When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
DOUGLETHREAT.
Double Threat back. Here we go. My name's Tom.
My name's Julie.
And we are the stars of Double Threat, not the hosts, because that would mean that Forever Dog could slide us out and pull a Valerie's family on us, but they're not going to get to do that.
Valerie Solanas.
Yeah, that was when they replaced Valerie Harper with Valerie Solanas.
She killed everybody in the cast. Turn.
When she wrote that manifesto about Jason Bateman.
She didn't kill everybody. She just shot them.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that was...
funny.
It was a good... I thought the show kind of put a little fresh air in it. It's like when they add a new cast member to a sitcom.
Right.
And then there's just more moves you can make. That's what that was. When Valerie Solanas joined the cast of Valerie's Family.
Yeah, and Candy Darling was like the next door neighbor, and then Rick Shapiro moved in and you're like, isn't that a little early for him? And he was like, you tell me, I'm not a morning person. And then I realized it was all a dream that I had.
Yeah. Are you sure that's a dream, not a nightmare?
Well,
you sure this doesn't
ask that, my meds kinda... Ask My Meds is the name of my new show.
Well, that one sounds kind of... I'm gonna say that's a soft nightmare.
Well, speaking of nightmares, I'm really excited that Halloween is coming up. Are you?
Oh, yeah. What a great time to wear a costume in your home that only you can see. You can dance around in front of a mirror.
Or you can go door to door with no mask. That's an option.
Sure, you go with no masks, or either your costume has an N95 mask incorporated into it now so it doesn't work and the illusion is completely shattered, or you're going without a mask and you're a dunce, a scary dunce.
Well, let's actually, you know what, Tom? Let's take this moment and figure out our take on Halloween 2020, because Tom and I are trying... Everyone's got a show these days where they're talking about topical humor... Or humor.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were going to have a show where we're like, what's in the news? Halloween's coming up. Like, what would we say? Would our take be that 2020 doesn't need Halloween because it's scary enough already?
Halloween always says trick or treat, but it's treat. It's a treat-based holiday. It's not a trick-based holiday. It's a treat-based holiday. And I feel like right now, there is definitely a deficit of treats, and I don't know if I feel like that is what changes Halloween this year.
Okay, so your take is it's a little trick heavy.
Right now, we're getting a trick heavy Halloween.
What about the scariest Halloween costume this Halloween is to go as the year 2020? Is that fun?
So you get some of those 2020 glasses that you would get at New Year's Eve.
Yeah, maybe you buy a calendar and you like plaster your naked body with the pages. Like you decoupage them onto your nude. What's funnier, the word nude or the word naked? I think they're both really...
naked sounds like somebody opened the door when you didn't want them to open it.
Right, like,
yeah. Get out of here. I'm naked. Get out of here. Come on in. I'm nude.
As opposed to like anyone up for a nude and then you fill in the blank, like anyone up for a nude scavenger hunt?
Yeah. I'm naked. Get out of here.
I'm nude. Want to go for a swim?
I'm nude. Come on in.
What if it's, I'm naked. Come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, nude. Go away.
People just be like, I don't know anything anymore. This is confusing. Do you think that anyone would actually feel comfortable walking around in like one of those Trump masks now? Wouldn't you just be like, no, I'm going to get my head caved in if I go around? It's like,
yeah,
it's, I'm wearing a mask, completely limits my peripheral vision.
Yeah.
I'm looking through these narrow eye slits and suddenly, it's, and I'm also wearing a mask that embodies someone that everybody hates.
Yeah. Just do Hitler. Just get Hitler.
Yeah. Or unless you did like a Trump in a diaper. Like you're walking around in a diaper. Oh,
that's naughty.
Because he's a baby.
That's naughty.
He's always crying about everything.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
That's, why do I sound like Mae West thinking about maybe Trump in a diaper with a rattle?
Well, that sounds like a good Halloween costume. Mae West and Trump.
Gaga goo goo. Why don't you come up and burp me? Because I can't it myself.
The Mae West baby.
Is that why you burp babies? Because they don't know how to burp?
They get the air stuck in. You got to help move it out.
Why can't they do it themselves?
They can't do a lot themselves.
I'm not telling them to go to job on a factory line.
Mm-hmm. So you feel like there's a good chance that a baby should just figure it out.
Let her rip.
Yeah.
Look, they have no problem going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's what you're calling it, because I'll tell you this, they certainly don't make it to the bathroom a lot of the time.
They always fall short.
And some of them have hair and some don't.
Yeah.
Some of them have upsettingly dark and plentiful amounts of head hair when they're born.
Gross and wet, like where it's wet.
It's wet.
It always looks wet.
It's definitely wet. It's definitely like, you know, like I don't know. I feel like men in like 60s TV shows, whenever their hair was like, like stuck to their forehead, like kind of, it was either product that was stuck. You know what I mean? Like they kind of look like creepy bankers from like Maud.
They look like, all these babies look like, they look either like William Macy on Maud, or they look like, what's his face? The guy from all those movies would be like, oh, yes, I'm trying to go to the
place. Edward G. Robinson?
No, not Edward G. Robinson. They'd be like, mash, hey, I'm trying to go. The guy who's like, what's the guy who's like the
Peter Lorre?
Peter Lorre, yes.
Oh, they Peter Lorre, like- totally. I have one more thing to say about babies and their hair is that at some point in the last 10 or 20 years, new parents stopped putting giant JPEGs of their babies in announcement emails. And they started putting giant JPEGs of their newborn babies in their announcement emails wearing knit beanies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember growing up that not every newborn baby you saw had a knit beanie on?
Yeah, I remember there was a point when suddenly every baby looked like they played in Spyro Gyra or some sort of jazz fusion group. So the email comes through. You see a picture of someone wearing a little beanie.
And I get excited and I think, oh, I hope this is Dave Grohl. I'm already horny.
Yeah. I see that and I'm just like, oh, wow, great. Return to Forever have a new album out and this is exciting. Right. Oh, it's
and then
somebody's
you
baby.
Keep scrolling and scrolling. He goes, okay, his eyes are closed. That's cool. He could be jamming out. And then, like, oh, wait, like his face is awfully red. Like, well, maybe he's angry.
Yeah. Joe Zawinul is proud to present the new album Impressions. And you're just like, oh, wait, that's Joe Zawinul? It looks like a baby.
Right. And then you're like, where are his teeth? Hey, look at this. Look what I got.
What's that? Well, you're waving around. I can't see.
It's the Oriental Trading Company Halloween catalog.
Okay.
Do you ever get one of these in the mail?
No.
Well, Brett, do you know what these are?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't got one recently, but I remember I used to get them all the time.
They're like the most fun catalogs ever. And I just moved to a new apartment and it's addressed to, well, I won't give his name out.
Well, that's not yours. You have to return that to him.
It's crossed out. And you know what's circled is current resident or.
Yeah. So it's, oh, well, then that's mine. An exemption. You're allowed
mine.
To. Okay.
It's mine.
Good.
It's
just legally.
Mine.
I want to make sure we're just above board legally that we're not committing
page one.
Mail fraud on Forever Dog Network.
Thanks, Tom.
It's slime time.
Page one, it's slime time. So that's, yeah. What is this that? Is pouring what, slime can, on people's heads?
Well, I think it's interesting that the Oriental Trading Company is giving Americans different things to hand out to children for Halloween that are not sugar.
Okay.
So these are like little plastic containers of, well, one is called crunchy slime with beads. One is called scented cloud dough. One is called maize slime, which comes in just like a little maize shaped okay. container. The one is called fruit slime because the containers are fruity. And then this is foam putty monster slime, and you can make your own like monster.
So what you're saying is,
oh,
if you're
no,
a fan, if you're a fan of slime,
sorry,
what did it say at the bottom?
It says warning: cancer and reproductive harm.
Oh, there you go. That's hey, we're not messing around with our slime. You play with our slime, you're getting sick.
Pumpkin guts.
First of all. There was a crunchy slime on there.
Yeah.
You play with the slime, all of them turn into crunchy slimes after a while when little things start to fall in there. Before you know it, any slime is a crunchy slime.
Or like, linty, maybe linty
yeah.
slime. Yeah. Everything in here, you know what this catalog should really just be called is chokables. Just everything
so this is the Halloween chokables.
Yeah, like this, everything here could be neatly lodged into a child's larynx. But I am impressed by how many things they could come up with that are not candy. Now, here's my question. If you were a young lad, a little boy, and you were going trick-or-treating, and someone gave you these, instead of candy, they gave you these monster wind-up teeth that chatter. Would you be pissed that it wasn't candy, or would you be distracted by like, oh, I have like a fun, dopey new
toy? Oh, I would be so excited that I got some chattering teeth.
You would?
Over some candy, yeah.
Really? What about you, Brett?
Yeah, I agree, but only, I mean, chattering teeth, that's a pretty high quality.
Yeah, that's a good one, right?
Yeah.
What about these little wind-up, these are like wind-up monsters, so it's Frankenstein going pop 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 pop.
Oh, I would love it.
Yeah.
What about you, Brett?
Yeah, still I'd be over the moon. Yeah.
We gotta go. You gotta go over that house. They're giving out chattering teeth. Then like the word gets out in the neighborhood, just like
yeah.
This street is good. They give out full size Snickers bars, and that house is giving out chattering teeth. Then you get there, and they're out of chattering teeth.
Oh no! They're just actually like throwing their own. They're taking pliers
out of their own mouth,
pulling out their own mouths.
Yeah, and dropping it in your little candy bag.
Well, maybe I'm a food addict, but I think both of you are wrong, because if somebody decided to hand me a piece of plastic instead of, you know, some processed sugar in like a wrapper of some kind, I would lose me mind with rage.
All you gotta do is
just upset.
You go to that next house. You're getting candy there. You're not going to some neighborhood where they're just giving out knickknacks.
How long were you out for? How many hours did you pound the pavement on Halloween? Did you ever go home? Oh, did you ever go home and unload and like?
Oh yeah.
Take another.
Absolutely.
How many times?
I do rounds on that.
How
I tell
many
you
rounds?
Now, if I was trick or treating now with Uber and stuff. You could imagine how good
Can you
imagine how good I would be at Halloween now with Uber?
That's cheating.
I'd be just like,
you can't Uber to
first
places.
Of all, there'd be like some sort of app that would say where the good candy is, who's giving good stuff out. Then you get in an Uber.
You say fill up the trunk. You don't even get out of the car.
No, you go over to the house with the good stuff. What you do is you bring six costume changes in your Uber, and you just tell the driver to hang tight. You go up, get the good stuff, maybe say, "Oh, my brother's at home. He's sick. Can I get one for him too?" You get that. Then you run back to the Uber, quick costume change.
And then it's like, I'm his brother. I'm well now. I had a miracle.
No, you just keep doing costume change. Suddenly you're like Cher up in that thing. And then Cher in concert, just 10 costume changes.
What if the Uber driver want to look at your butt when you're changing?
Let him play with the chattering teeth for a while. Say, here, play with these chattering teeth on your dashboard. I'll be right back. And then the kicker is what you do is you go back. You go back the next day and you just go like
on the first.
You go back on November first. This is what you do.
Tom.
You go back and you go. I was so sick yesterday. I didn't get to trick or treat.
No.
Do you have anything left?
No. At this point, this is charity. You're asking for charity. You're going instead of trick or treat. You're going alms for the poor.
You go back on November 2nd and you almost have that like a thing where you're just like, I know you have candy in there and you're making yourself sick. Just give it to me and you'll feel better about this. So you don't eat it all.
Then it's November 4th and it just becomes funny games.
Yeah.
You go in and you tie up the couple.
Yeah. You climb through their chimney. Yeah. You terrorize the family.
What was your favorite, what was like the candy like holy grail for you? Like the one piece of candy where you're like, oh my God.
Full size Snicker bar. Full size.
That's it. That's all it takes to make little Tom happy is like you can go right now and get any like at a
little
corner
Tom,
store.
Big Tom, any Tom will full size Snicker. I'll just zip my lip and you got me for a good 10 minutes now. You bought 10 minutes of just me. It's like a trank.
You know,
dart.
What was my favorite? When I was a young lady.
Let me see if I can guess.
Okay. There's two and they're basically the same exact thing. They're very boring, actually. Now I'm ashamed of myself.
You like Werther's Originals.
No, I'm not. How old do you think I am?
No, I feel like you were a kid. You were a very mature kid.
The penny farthing. There was a licorice shoe. Yeah. It was the shape of a shoe.
This house is giving out black licorice.
You didn't guess my favorite candy, for real. My favorite candy is Werther's Original. This made me so happy to get it. And it is boring and it is silly.
Good and Plenty.
I don't know if they still make them.
It's Good and Plenty.
No.
Mike and Ike.
No, I'm just going to tell you.
Snow caps.
You remember Symphony bars?
Symphony bars?
Brett, could you Google Symphony?
Yeah, gladly.
They were like an upscale like Nestle bar. Because the other favorite chocolate bar or candy I liked was just a plain Nestle bar, like with a red wrapper without the crunch. Just
no crunch.
Like plain milk chocolate. And for some reason, maybe it was sweeter than Hershey. Yeah. So these.
Yeah,
the
I remember.
Symphony,
I remember that.
I don't know if they still make them.
A little
too rich
for my blood.
I think maybe I was like aspirational and I thought like, wow, like I feel like a highfalutin woman of the 80s. Well, could you look at see if there were any like pretentious commercial? Maybe there classical music or something.
Dun, dun, dun,
I am obese. I am just 9.
Meanwhile, at the Hershey factory, they're just dropping them. Same things. They're just like, should we put these in Hershey wrappers? Nah, make those Symphony bars.
Hershey introduces Symphony, a masterpiece of chocolate.
Wait, I did that thinking it was way too obvious. And then meanwhile, someone got paid $300,000 to write this Hershey's Symphony bar commercial where they're just like, we got to have dun 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 dun.
Yeah, you know, it's
Hershey introduces
your
Symphony,
first thought is the right thought.
A masterpiece of chocolate with more milk than any leading bar. It's smooth, creamy, with a whole different taste. New Symphony from Hershey, also with almonds and toffee chips.
I like it's the idea. It's just like, well, this is kind of a little classier than a Hershey bar. It's just like, then you always talk to some chocolate snob and they'll just be like, I tried eating a Hershey, I almost threw up. It's like Stop it. It's like, yeah, of course it's crappy. I know that. We all know that. We all know this is not the highest grade of chocolate.
What else? Certain chocolate bunnies I've had my way with have been a little bit disappointed. They're definitely going for the quantity more than the quality of it.
I always remember that feeling when I realized that I got a solid chocolate rabbit and I was just like, now this is what it's like to be alive.
Yep.
Solid chocolate rabbit, oh my God, some that's piece amazing. Of crap that crumbles when I break it. Right? Isn't that, Brett? You get a chocolate rabbit and you realize that thing's solid?
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
A Russell Stover, you realize you got a solid Russell Stover rabbit? You're like, should I eat the little yellow eye? Should I eat the little yellow eyes first?
Did you find out it was solid by biting into it, or did you have to like tap it to find out if it was hollow?
Well, I've got a little candy hammer I usually use to test things.
When Tom was a young man, his parents said, this is your candy hammer and this is your Coke spoon. And then the rest of the utensils that you need in life will be found from sticks.
Yes. And I take my little kid out. I put my little, it's kind of like working at a jeweler's.
You had one of those funny little, monocles? Is that what you'd call it?
Like a jeweler piece, yeah. Like an eye piece, yeah. I have one of those. I look in closely. I take the little candy hammer, tap it, and then I eat the candy hammer because it's literally made of candy. Also, I'm like, let's test this out, and I tap it. Then I chomp my candy hammer. Then I'm like, I need another candy hammer in here.
And then someone hands it to you like the way they'd hand a scalpel to a surgeon, only instead of taking it, you just put your mouth at the level that their hand is, mm-hmm. and you gulp the hammer like they're feeding it to you.
Yeah, and then you see a little hammer shape in my throat.
And you suck it in the way like a cat in a cartoon has to suck a mouse down real fast, but you see his little tail.
Yeah, exactly. Or the way like a snake would like swallow a Wile E. Coyote, and then you just see a Wile E. Coyote shape
here or something
in the body of the snake.
Well, speaking of treats and candy, our friend Jason Gore went on Drew Barrymore's new show this week. And
best show producer.
Yes, the best, Dudio. The best of the best. And he talked about this new flavor of candy corn with Drew Barrymore, who has a talk show now, as does Kelly Clarkson. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen clips of Kelly Clarkson, although I did see people like on screens in the seats.
I actually got that very clip lined up for later in the show.
The clip that was going around before the one of Jason, and I thought Jason did great, was Drew talking about not Python, but Python.
Okay.
A python.
An actual, the animal, the python.
A snake. Yeah. So, Terry Gilliam had very little to say about this particular python, as far as I know. What if we just, oh my God, Tom, this is it. Because the weird thing, there's many weird things about Drew's news, which is the segment of her show that where she goes over the news. But one of them is that there's no laughter because there's no audience there. What if we just make sure to pipe in Terry Gilliam's
laugh track.
Brett, what were you saying about this set? This looks like network.
Well, I was saying it looks like the like one of the news shows from network that they were like competing against.
Right.
You know, one of these like classic sort of old Edward R. Murrow.
Totally.
Like, news
right.
Sets.
Yeah. Or like the second season of Look Around You, or like when they first did Weekend Update, kind of like. You guys want me to like keep tossing out references that prove to you that I've seen television, or shall I?
I still don't think you've seen television.
I need two more.
Remember the snorks.
CNN reports that a 62-year-old ball python has laid 7 eggs, even though she hasn't been near a male snake in over 2 decades. Is she 62 or 16? Sneaking out for a little fun.
Stop.
This story resonates with me.
Stop. Tom, what is your reaction to that?
My first thing when I see this is, this color scheme of all of this is very troubling. It's like she's wearing like a brown and beige top that blends right into the background of the set and into her own hair. And it's just like weirdly flat. I'm shocked at how like lifeless a new show would be in terms of its color palette. Is that fair to say? Am I going down the wrong road early?
I just want to know what that 62 or 16 things means, because I just don't.
Then
I'm, I don't get
it. Oh, no,
it.
No. We're going to get there in a second.
Okay.
Then her desk is also legitimately messy. Like it's actually.
Yeah, it's cluttered with. It's a maniac. It's a hoarder.
It's got
it's a maniac.
It looks like there's like three newspapers on it, a pair of upside down reading glasses, a mug. Yeah,
it's just a madman.
Like it's like a.
Workspace.
It's,
yeah.
It's really messy. She's wearing a wristwatch, which I like, but I also, I mean, look, she looks amazing.
She's
always like Drew
She's
Barrymore.
She's a movie star. Yeah. She's a Barrymore.
I'm going to say, I think Drew Barrymore's beautiful. Like, you know, when people people think they discover like secret beauty.
Well, the worst is when they're like, you know, Meryl Streep isn't a typical, like, shut the fuck up. Stop. Don't even finish your sentence, because I'm going to slit.
Yeah.
I'm going to slit our throats at the same time I've got steak knives in both hands.
Yeah.
Please.
Don't trick or treat at that house. Why? Mm-hmm. She's got steak knives in her hands.
Is that her costume?
Is that her costume? Or is she giving out steak knives?
Neither.
And that'd be the perfect thing. If you're like a real sneak, you give a kid a steak knife, it rips a bag, and then you just go right behind them, you pick up all their candy.
Oh, that's a great idea.
This story resonates with me because I haven't been in captivity with a male for quite some time either. I have my two daughters and my cup runneth over, if you know what I mean, I'm good. However, when I usually fill out medical forms and they ask, is there a possibility you're pregnant? I'm usually like, nah, yeah, chance. But now she's making me rethink and get scared and curious and wonder. Listen. This mama python, she got it done. And although it is certainly suspicious how, I say, live your bliss.
What was that?
I just don't know. I don't know.
What does she mean when she says, is she 16 or 62 going out for a night on the town? And start, who swings their sunglasses around like that? Is that like what a stripper does with a bra?
She's swinging her glasses around. And she's like bending, she's like rocking back and forth. I think I'm kind of into it. I think I see what the appeal of this is now.
And I just don't get the jokes when she says, I've got two kids at home. My cup runneth over, if you know what I mean. I'm like, with cum?
Well, I'm going to watch this show. And
fine. Be my guest.
Jason Dudio Gore was on it as a candy correspondent.
Sure.
I'm proud of our guy.
I'm proud of Jason Gore. I ain't got nothing bad to say about Jason Gore. And I have compassion for what Drew Barrymore has survived, and she's gorgeous. But I don't know if Drew's news is I just wonder about a female comic that could have had that. I don't know. Maybe who cares? Who the fuck cares?
Who should have had that slot?
Meg Statler.
Okay.
Doing the same exact thing, but as a character. You've seen Meg's stuff, right?
I think so.
She's brilliant. She's so funny.
Meg Stalter.
God damn it, Brett.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
no,
Meg
I'm glad you corrected me.
Oh,
I'm mad
I know
at myself.
Who Meg Stalter
right
is.
Here on the Forever Dog Network.
Well, fuck you both.
The Denisance took a dark turn this week.
I heard that Dennis Quaid. Did you hear, Tom, that people tweeted you about Dennis Quaid?
Oh, yes, they did, because we talked all about Dennis Quaid.
The Denisance.
The actor, and he's like, I got the Denisance going on now, and he's all proud of himself doing his podcast. And
then he had like a Denisance network and some guy that used to work for like not even Playboy, but like Screw. He used to work for like Hole magazine or something. He and Al Goldstein used to like put together the filthiest
Second Avenue deli.
Yeah, they'd meet at the Second Avenue deli, and then they'd be like, "All right, let's call this one 3 input monthly."
We could lay it out right at the table right now. We'll get some glue sticks. We're gonna put the magazine together right now and put our sandwiches to the side.
We have surgery photos from like women giving birth. We're gonna take an X-Acto knife and remove the babies in the picture.
Yeah.
So Dennis Quaid has this podcast empire, including this one pornographer whose job it is to fly to places and adopt cats with his boss's name.
Jimmy Jelinek.
What was his name again?
Jimmy Jelinek.
Right, Jimmy Jelinek. So he adopted Dennis Quaid the cat, and he hosts a podcast.
Yeah, and so all of that amounts to the Denissance, which is Dennis Quaid's self-styled reimagining of himself. Yeah, comeback. And so this week, the latest twist in the Denissance is that Dennis Quaid is one of the, perhaps the primary celebrity spokespersons for this new ad campaign that the Health and Human Services Department is doing that's trying to put a positive spin on Trump's handling of the coronavirus epidemic.
So it's like an ad. It's an ad for another term for Trump, basically?
Basically, yeah. It is presenting itself as a, well, first, it's taxpayer-funded.
What?
It's supposed to be a government-sponsored PSA, but the message of it is essentially just a pro-Trump campaign ad.
No way.
Yeah, and what it is, they got a bunch of celebrities on board. They're going to be interviewing Trump handpicked federal employees about how his handling of the coronavirus has actually been pretty good.
I'm going to be sick.
And the goal of it is to, quote, defeat despair surrounding the coronavirus, and it's going to cost $300 million in taxpayer money.
It's better to defeat coronavirus, don't you think, Tom?
Yeah, I would say that might be what we should be setting out to defeat, not despair.
Ugh.
So this Dennis Quaid, this
makes me
this
sick.
This half-wit.
Corn-fed moron, this like...
Yeah.
This pair of eyebrows and black jeans.
He'll say anything. He'll do, because he does these dumb insurance commercials, first of all, where they're awful. And
not represent insurance to be. He doesn't represent anything that's like, oh, my hurricane destroyed my home. Like, who do I want to like turn to know everything's going to be okay? The guy who played Jerry Lee Lewis in Great Balls of Fire.
The only insurance he provides is that when he's in a movie, it is pretty much a safe bet that it sucks. That is the only insurance
you insures.
He insures a lack of quality.
That's the Dennis Quaid guarantee.
You could take out Quaid insurance on this new movie, and if it turns out the movie doesn't blow, then you pay the premium.
Gross. So what is this? Are we going to watch the ad? Is this an ad?
The ad has actually not come out yet.
What are they doing? Working on it? They doing post?
Well, thankfully, it got leaked that they were working on it, and now there's a big effort to shut it down before it gets going. After we recorded this episode of Double Threat, Dennis Quaid announced on Instagram that he had not been paid to take part in this PSA, that his participation was in no way political, and that cancel culture media had twisted his words. However, it should be noted that in previous interviews, Quaid has praised Trump's handling of the coronavirus as being, quote, good and involved. That's your up-to-the-minute Double Threat Dennis Quaid update, and now back to the show.
I didn't realize that it was our tax dollars funding. You know who probably set this up? I'm actually not kidding at all. I'm dead serious about this. Jelly Jesselneck.
Sure.
Set this up.
Jelly
There's
Jesselneck
no
did it.
Question that Jelly's jelly prints are all over this.
Jelly's Jesselneck is behind this. And what would you want on Halloween, Julie, if somebody put a copy of a guild screener of Dennis Quaid movie In Good Company, dropped it in your little candy bag, or if they just dropped, if they spooned a few scoops of jelly out.
Loose jelly?
Yeah. What would you do if you were trick-or-treating and you open your pillowcase and then somebody just pours, like they just are spooning jelly into your bag, ruining all the kid.
I would like the second. I'd like the jelly because then they could be like, it's just slime. I thought you liked slime.
That's true. Yeah. what about if they put a couple scoops of jelly in and then poured like a scoop full of ants right after it? And they're just like, now your candy's ruined.
Well, then you'd be like, now the jelly's ruined.
Yeah, but it's all over my candy.
These candies are all in pretty secure plastic wrappers because of perverts, you know, meddling with them.
Yeah.
In the past. You still
would, if that happened to you,
you rinse it off. It's fine. You take the pillowcase in one of those big sinks that, if you're lucky enough to have a laundry like room or like a mud room, there's like a big sink right next to the washing machine.
Sure.
Dump your pilly case full of jelly.
Don't you just imagine being a parent and the kid comes home in their Batman costume, like crying.
What's wrong? What happened? What's wrong?
I went to the house and he put jelly in my bag and then put ants in and it's all over my candy's ruined.
What house?
That one, we went, I took an Uber to a different neighborhood because I read on the app that there was good candy, but this guy.
We'll talk about that in a second. So someone
turned out it was a sponsored ad that he took out on the app. It wasn't an actual highly rated house.
So he opened the door and then what happened?
It's like on Yelp when somebody, when you have to scroll past the paid ads and see what people actually like.
I know. And don't order from those places on Seamless either. But then what happened? Someone opened their door. How did you know it was jelly?
Me had a giant jar of Welch's.
And a spoon or like a ladle?
It was like a, kind of like one of those serving spoons. Not an actual deep, not as deep as a ladle, but like definitely bigger than like a serving spoon.
Okay, and then what happened? So you said trick or treat?
He said, I got a treat for you. And he scooped two scoops of jelly in my bag. Then he said, hold on, now I got something great for you. And then he threw a handful of ants in my bag. I'd say, this is what I would say. Two things. First of all, forget this candy. Tomorrow, I'll go with a $20 bill. I'm going to buy you more half-price candy than you even know what to do with tomorrow.
There's no tomorrow on Halloween night. That doesn't exist in a child's mind.
I'm just going to say, tomorrow. Here, eat this Charleston Chew.
No, this is what you do. You're having this conversation with one parent. I'm not saying all homes are two-parent homes. But just hopefully there's someone else in that home, whether it's like a brother, a neighbor. One of them has already taken the pillowcase, dumped it into that sink I keep talking about.
Sure.
Run water over everything. And then you just hear the sound of a sawed-off shotgun being cocked.
Yeah, and being like, all right, we're going to, where, you remember where that house was?
No, no asking questions. He just grabs the kid's phone and looks on Uber and looks on your trips.
Yeah. Sure. Going back.
It's like how Scooby-Doo cartoons could have ended, which is just somebody finds out about what this person's been putting their, you know, kids through, and they come in with a shotgun and they just shoot up the place.
Well, that would be a Halloween. That'd
be something I would not put past Jelly Jesselneck.
No. And then they threw a copy of a WGA screener for a DVD called In Good Company.
I don't know that movie. You keep mentioning that movie. Is that new?
That was the one. No, that was like, it was like Topher Grace and Dennis Quaid. Remember that one?
I don't. I remember him being in, I remember him being very sexy in Postcards from the Edge, but he was just supposed to play like a bimbo, you know, jerk in that. I remember Great Balls of Fire. And then I guess I haven't really thought about him since.
Brett, can you bring up the In Good Company trailer, please?
My name is Carter Duryea. Is it like 1,000 degrees in here, or is it me? It's me. I think that you have the potential to be an awesome wingman.
Carter, what is the benefit for me of being an awesome wingman?
Did you get to keep your job?
Carter, I'm leaving you.
I've been swamped at work. Here's the good news. I can change.
What are you, living here now?
Here, boy. To send a little
money home. Look, your hands
off. You want to go some dinner
night? That seemed pretty normal until he started telling a goldfish. Everything seemed pretty boring and stupid and pointless and dumb and predictable, and then that guy just started saying "here, boy" to a goldfish in a tank.
Yeah.
And I'm confused about why he did that.
This movie was not great.
Is it like The Intern, where Anne Hathaway is the boss and Robert De Niro is the intern? Is it like that?
It's not like it's Intern is great.
I've never seen it.
The Intern is so good.
Is that Nancy Myers?
Yeah.
I heard she directs Head to Toe in Kashmir.
Well, whatever she's doing, she should keep doing it because The Intern is amazing. The Intern is basically like a horror movie without the horror, where it's like Anne Hathaway's like, I'm running this company and I'm so busy, I don't know what to do with my life. It's like, get this intern, this old intern will help. And then he starts ingratiating himself into her life and like,
so it's like Cape Fear.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Or it's like any one of these things that would turn into he goes too far and starts stalking the family and attacking people. But in that movie, he just doesn't start doing that. He just keeps helping and they like it. And then he gets more involved in the life and she still likes it. And then the end.
That sounds fine.
Yeah. And then he gets like Renee Russo's in it and she gives him like a shoulder rub at the office. Like she's like she's like the office. She comes in like a masseuse. Yeah. And it's
And no one at any point says to a goldfish, here, boy.
No, you do not get Topher Grace ever speaking to any fish in The Intern.
I also wanted to point out Topher Grace had a broken arm in exactly like one scene in that trailer, but in no.
It's gone now.
Yeah. Well, it was like. And it seemed like based on the logic that it happens in the middle of the movie, but there's no other shots. There was one shot of him with a full on broken arm and then no other shots of it.
Well, it's like Chinatown. It's like his Chinatown. He has his broken arm kind of carried through. And I think it's like a guy comes up to him. He's like, yeah, you think you're pretty slick, huh? Kitty cat? Huh? You think you're pretty slick?
You know what happens to nosy kitty cats?
Yeah, they get their arms broken.
Does the director play that character too, like in Chinatown?
Yes, Chris Wentz.
I have a fun question for the audience, like game, fun conversation topic, like thing just to call for submissions for. What do you think is the best or the most fun director cameo in any movie?
Well, that's a
have you done this
question.
On the best show, Tom? I'm
no,
sorry if I
no, no, no. This okay. That's a great one.
I want to know what your favorite director cameo is in a movie, and the stranger the better, because I know my answer right now.
Let's hold off. Yeah, if you guys, yeah, this could be a fun segment. If you guys want to send in your submissions for the best director cameos, we can do a countdown.
Should I come up with one for the next episode?
Yeah,
I was gonna say, I think some of the best actors ever are directors, and it's just so interesting to me, like, you could do, it's your movie, you know what I mean? Like, you could control every last thing that you wanted to do this, and it is so funny and interesting to me. So let's accumulate submissions for that.
What if it's a two-tiered thing where it's like, what is the best one where a director acting in their own movie?
Yeah.
Because then there's also, what about directors acting in other people's movies?
I think that's, I love that too. I think that's a separate category because I think there are, like, I think Gary Marshall was a better actor in
Lost in America
and in Soap Dish than anything I've ever seen him direct. Mm-hmm. I think that guy was such a funny actor. And
speaking of Chinatown, John Huston and
John
Chinatown.
Huston. Yeah. Yep. And
I'm here to talk to you, Mr. Gitz. I want to hear more about this Drew's news, Mr. Gitz.
Forget it, Jake. And she takes her glasses off and she goes, it's Chinatown. Who told her that was a human gesture to do? And by the way, I want to know also, I'm not criticizing. I'm genuinely asking, when did women, pretty fashionable women, all decide to start wearing little Colonel Sanders ribbons?
Mm-hmm.
And having their collars buttoned all up to their neckies and having a little black bow and looking like Miss Prissy from Foghorn Leghorn
Streams. But you don't
know.
I mean, I can't believe you're not aware that Drew Barrymore also manages a Cracker Barrel after she finishes her shift on the talk show. She has to, like, hurry over.
Our specials are insane.
I always love Cracker Barrel, where it's the kind of thing, it's like you go to Cracker Barrel and you have to ask, as somebody who doesn't eat meat, you have to ask if literally any part of it has meat in it. Cause they're just like, they're like, well, we have broccoli, a side of broccoli. Yeah. It's like, does it have meat? It's like, oh yeah, it has bacon in it. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Is it just I've never been to a Cracker Barrel.
Well, it's fun. Say it's a perfect place to go if you want to have a very hard time cobbling together an order for you to eat and a very easy time picking out a rocking chair that they sell. They sell rocking chairs. It's amazing. They make it much easier to buy a rocking chair or a country music CD. Get a Trisha Yearwood CD. Does the spinach, it's like, oh, the spinach is cooked in bacon grease and it's...
I have a question. Not a question. I have a comment. I love gift shops. And I have heard, tell me if I'm wrong about this, but Cracker Barrels do have gift shops?
Cracker Barrel, one half of the Cracker Barrel is a gift shop.
You have to walk through the gift shop to get to the restaurant.
I'm telling you, next road trip, next time you're driving around, you see a Cracker Barrel, you pull over, you are going to flip. That is a top-notch gift shop.
I love a gift shop. That's my favorite part of going on any vacation. I know there are people that like going on vacations where they're, you know, it's like very remote and there's nature, and I like nature. I like, you know, peace and quiet. But when I see a gift shop with hand plastic wrapped cubes of fudge, are you kidding me?
This will be you at the gift shop, the Cracker Barrel.
Heaven
be
on
like,
earth.
You'll say, "Ooh, I didn't know the Judds had a new album," and then you'll get that, and then you'll be like, "Oh, a sweatshirt with the name of this town we're in right now. I'll
what
get one
if
of those."
The only clothes I wear are from gift shops.
That'd be amazing.
I might gradually be moving over to that aesthetic of like cowboy hats that are basically made out of plastic.
Sure, plastic cowboy hats. You get those games that are shrink wrapped with the marker that like you color and you reveal like the hidden
stuff.
I'll
do that instead of read books.
Yeah, you can get. They also have the tabletop, like the little game with the golf tees that you kind of jump each in the triangle
pattern. I like
pattern.
The ones that are like old timey. They're like old rustic Americana. Like these are the chalkboards that your granny like had to, you know, learn in when she was allowed to go to school, which she wasn't because girls were, you know, they had to work in the coal mines back then. So all that like Americana stuff. I like a upscale gift shop where you can buy a candle for like $2,700. I like those.
Well, don't worry about anything that costs. I think for $2,700, you are the owner of the Cracker Barrel. If you pulled out $2,700, the manager will come from the back and hand you the keys, and then he will leave.
And the deed, deed will be written on like one of those like old fashioned looking scrolls and like funny old cursive.
Yeah,
with a ribbon.
He'll go to the wall, shatter it from the frame. Get you to sign it, then he's like, and I'm done. Goodbye. Yeah. And he's like, hey, can I take one rocking chair on the way out just for old time's sake?
No. And I'll take the rocking chair and I'll throw it into a fire and I'll make him watch it burn instead. I went to an upscale spa once and all I did was hang out at the gift shop because people are like, oh, I'll read your, you know, I'll do this. I'll tell you what to eat and what not to eat, or I'll like evaluate your, you know, Ayurvedic. Like, and I was just like, I want a sweater. Look at that pretty chocolate bar. That's how I spent my spa vacation. I love a gift shop. That's what we learned about ourselves. And by ourselves, I mean me today.
Yeah.
What else do we have, Brett?
Oh, yeah. I got something pretty fun for you now. This is from listener Wyatt. Thanks, Wyatt. And as you probably know, for the 1980 movie version of Popeye, which we've talked about before, they built a huge set on the island of Malta, they called Popeye Village. And apparently the leftover carcass of this Popeye Village set has been turned into a theme park, also called Popeye's Village. And I'm going to share this video with you here now.
COVID-19. How did you do that?
COVID-19. Anybody got a credit card to chop this cocaine up?
And they have not closed for COVID. They are open 7 days a week.
Of course, they have not closed for COVID.
They actually expanded their hours. New COVID hours. We do not close.
24/7. Yeah. Tom and Brett, why can't we go? Should we start a Kickstarter? Is there something where people could give us money to we can go on this trip from hell and have camera? It's a documentary you're basically raising money for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So welcome to Popeye Village.
Hello, I'm Popeye the Sailorman, and that's Olive Oil.
Hi.
Do come to Sweet Heaven Village and come and see us in person.
Well, first of all, let me say that is that's a pre-spinach Popeye right there. That Popeye is in dire need of some spinach. He is not muscular.
Can you please play the last thing he said? Because he was very clear. He's like, "I'm Popeye. This is olive oil. Come and visit us." And then he's like,
"And that's olive oil.
Hi.
Do come to Sweet Heaven Village and come and see us, of course."
Come and see us, sir.
I think he says, "Come and visit, of course." So,
come and visit, of course.
Can you play it one more time?
I'm Popeye, and this is olive oil.
Hello, I'm Popeye the Sailorman, and that's olive oil.
Hi.
Okay, hold on. Wait. I'm asking. There's more to say.
I am Popeye the Sailorman, and this is olive oil.
Like, his impression gets worse every time. His impression. You know, he's doing an impression of Popeye. And he's, first of all, he does not, he just seems to be squinting with both eyes. First of all. Both eyes.
He's Popeyes.
He's Popeyes, yes.
Hey, Popeye the Sailorman, and what is this?
Olive oil.
And she's like, "Hi."
She's not doing nothing. She's keeping her own dignity. I've been in scenes with people like this. You just keep smiling, and you think of the bath you're gonna take at the end of the day. Yeah.
This is one of those ones if you're auditioning for a thing and they start pairing people up in auditions, you're just like, "Well, neither of us are getting this job because of you. Like, you're tanking my audition. You're so bad, I'm not gonna get this part either." There's just a stink in the room now. Like,
is he bad though, or is he just strange? Is he just making some strange choices? And isn't that what the 1982 Popeye is all about? Let's just hear it one more time.
Hello, I'm Popeye the Sailorman, and that's olive oil.
Hi.
Do come to Sweet Heaven Village and come and see us, of course.
That is.
This is like we're watching. This is future footage of our death. I've never been so certain that I'm going to die somewhere as I am when I see footage of this place.
So they're showing something. You pause now. It looks like, I think, a child is being attacked.
Is being hosed down.
Popeye the Sailorman, and this is olive oil, and
That Popeye looked like a bargain basement Dave Franco as Popeye.
I'm into it. What are they doing to these children? That one with the hat backwards looks like he's in pain.
And you know they couldn't have had any music that in any way invoked
That stuff is public domain. That was written in 1804 and they couldn't use it.
It's like, what if we put some faceless contemporary music on the top of this. It's like, that goes with Papa.
We're going to pop. This will be the first, after COVID, this will be the first time we have, well, any of us are traveling outside.
I'll say this,
home.
And this is not a comedy bit. This is a promise. If Trump wins, I'm moving to Popeye Village.
And I will 100% put this video up on our social accounts. So make sure to follow us at Double Threat Pod to see this video.
Wait, what's that character, that furry creature?
Then there was like a bear type.
That is mascot. Not from Popeye. I've seen Popeye a few times. That bear's not in the movie at all.
And the guy that looks like the guy that's supposed to be Bluto, I guess.
Yes.
It really is just like a kid walking around with a pillow under their shirt, being like, "I'm daddy. I'm daddy. I'm walking through the house. I'm dad. Look at this." It's like they colored in a beard with just
with
like
Sharpie or something.
Yeah, like a magic marker, and they just stick a couch cushion, like a couch pillow, under their shirt. Yeah.
Somebody needs to buy very expensive deep fake technology and superimpose me and Tom and Brett's faces on these three people dancing like Popeye, Olive, and Bluto. And here's the thing. Don't tell us who's Bluto. You know what I mean? Like, don't like gender. Yeah. Don't assume gender wise or anything wise that one of us has to be. In fact, let's take a vote. Who do you think should be? Who should the three of us play in this inevitable group suicide? I'm going. I don't care if you guys are coming with me or not. I'm going. This is where I'm going to live now.
November 5th, I'll be in Popeye Village doing the podcast from Popeye Village.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Julie in New York.
The podcast.
This is Tom in Popeye Village. And welcome to Double Threat.
I'm going to need so much more information about either this or less information before I get my passport ready.
I think you just pull the trigger on a ticket right now.
On the gun in my head?
No.
Oh, fine.
Popeye Village. I want you to be happy.
I don't feel like either of you are committed to going, and all I've done is express my commitment to going.
I'm 100% on board with this.
We're committed. We're committed. You get there first,
okay.
Though.
Okay.
You just get there first.
Okay. Wait, what? No way.
No. Somebody's got to.
We go all, says Q and on.
Yes.
We're the Q Musketeers.
Pizzagate. They had a basement in the pizzeria.
Spinachgate.
Yeah, Spinachgate. Now, this Popeye thing is where the movie was shot.
Yes.
And they never changed, like, the set. They built the set and then they abandoned it. And
yeah, they abandoned it.
The way a hermit crab would say, oh, look at this old, you know, cylinder that used to hold breadcrumbs. Now it's my home.
Yeah, yeah. It's like where there's still buffalo on Catalina Island.
Is that true?
They just, yeah, they shot a couple westerns out there and just left the buffalo.
Oh, that's cool.
There.
Do they mess up the buffalo? Do they ever mess up the Catalina wine mixer?
Yeah, you got to put a big fence around the Catalina wine mixer every year. Otherwise, the buffalo will stampede through and knock all the wine over.
I think I'm writing Step Brothers 2. Add some buffalo to the mix.
Where the buffalo roam.
Brett, do you have anything else?
Well, it's your call. Do you want to call it a week or see the premiere of Vin Diesel's first music single?
I want to hear Vin Diesel's song.
Let's end with Vin Diesel's song.
So Vin Diesel released his first music single this week called Feel Like I Do. Feel Like I Do by Vin Diesel. And I'm going to play a little bit of that song here and then show you what it looked like when it premiered on the Kelly Clarkson show.
So Kelly Clarkson is, like Drew Barrymore, a new talk show host, new daytime talk show host, right?
I think she's been doing it for a while. I think she's been doing it for a couple years.
And who do you think should be the next one of that type of celebrity that would be a great fit for a talk show? Because look, I'm Team Ellen all the way, and I'm never going to waver with that.
No.
I'm a little, the only thing I'm disappointed at is this whole backtrack thing now. I like the idea that you might go on the show and she'd smash a bottle over your head if you looked at her in the hallway.
Who's the next celebrity that should get a daytime talk show?
Yeah, who would be good?
Rachel Ray's dog.
You think Rachel Ray's dog would be good?
Yeah, because it seems like Rachel Ray just wants to like take a nap on the couch at this point. Okay. And her dog seems, I think she's got a pit.
Okay.
I'd love to.
So the dog.
Wouldn't you love to see a pit bull host a cooking show?
Oh my God. Where you just like.
You put all the ingredients out. You have the cameras like everywhere, like yeah. On the ceiling. And then you're like, everybody, welcome, Rocky.
Yeah. And then what if they just have like a celebrity chef, like a chef's on making food. And then if the dog can get their mitts on the food at any stage of the thing, that's just how it goes.
Oh, he'd be like, he will.
Well, we're going to make this chop chicken salad here, but Rocky ate all of the chicken.
I'm telling you, it's such a good idea to have a cooking show where everything's set up for a celebrity chef. The audience is all on their feet applauding. Yeah. The announcer says, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Rocky. Rocky is let loose. He goes up and down the aisles, so excited to see the audience.
Well, if you're going to do that, if you're going to have one dog do that, why not just have six?
Okay, so have six dogs host a cooking show.
Yeah, wouldn't that be the best? Suddenly just like, and here come the mutts. And then they come in from every entrance point and they just run around.
Some people are getting to do crowd work. Others figured out where the ingredients are. Someone found out like, you know, like where they come out with the already finished dish to show people and it's not really edible because they have shellac on it. That dog's like, yes, it is edible.
Yeah, watch this. And then some dogs are just in the crowd getting scratches. And then another dog like has figured out how to like open a refrigerator door and then like is just trashing all the food.
One attacks a cameraman violently.
And then it's like, coming up next, Lauren Hutton.
We want a daytime cooking show hosted by six dogs.
And six dogs and a chef.
Who's a chef? Carla Hall?
What about
I don't want one of these like boisterous. I'm so sick of the like Emeralds and the Guy Fieri. Like, I'm so sick of like guys who are just like, hey, you know, like, what's his name? Tom Colicchio. Like, I don't like those guys because they're all like personality and I just don't like that kind of personality. I suppose.
Sure. Well, what about this? If one of the six dogs was trained, secretly trained that when Emeril says bam, that's like an attack. And he's like, and then we take the garlic here and bam. And then the dog is like.
All of the dogs.
And all the other dogs follow the one dog's lead. The one dog's trained to initiate it and they chase Emeril all around. Like Emeril's climbed on top of like that sliding like kitchen area for shows when they wheel it out so they could do the cooking segments. Uh-huh. Emeril's like climbed on top of that hoping the dog doesn't get up there.
And then one of them that's like Marmaduke size gets on his hinders and starts pushing the car.
Starts pushing it. He's like, no. These dogs are like working in tandem with each other. A Marmaduke dog just puts his head down and is just pushing the thing forward like very effectively. And Emerald's like now he's like on a surfboard on top of this mobile kitchen area trying to like keep his balance.
I know, it's a great idea. I also think, because they also would learn to work with each other and get to know each other and have fun with each other, like the monkeys. Like, those four guys were all cast, but they did have magic when they were cast together, and I think it's going to be the same thing with the mutts, and I would also pitch that every week we give them a new, like, attack word, and we don't tell them
that could very well be worked. It's like the opposite of the Groucho Marx thing with the word of the thing, except this word just makes the dogs go insane.
Like, and it's changed every week.
Yeah, like you don't get $500 bonus prize.
No.
You now are.
You're going to get Marmaduke pushing that cart. No, I think that's a great idea. And I also think the trainer who comes in every week or every other week to train them what word will excite them doesn't train them to do anything else.
Yeah. Just like No, I just focus on the new word that sets a dog off.
And here's my question. Would you be a guest on that show? My answer is yes.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be the greatest. I'll take my chances with the dogs.
I'll take my chances.
I'll just bring some puppuccinos out there. I'll stop at Starbucks on my way over.
You're going to come in with a whole, like, welcome to today's guest, Tom Sharpley. You come out with a huge tray of puppuccinos.
Yeah.
And dogs attack you.
And also that order at Starbucks when I'm just like, yes, hi, I'd like a small coffee and 12 puppuccinos.
Like you're trying to cover it like when you buy condoms.
You're just like, yeah, like it's like everyone. It's like every cliche thing where it's like, oh, I'll take one of those and I guess I'll get
enough. Tazo chai.
Yeah.
Oh, you have oat milk now? That's interesting. Can I have 20? Yeah. Can I have 25 puppuccinos?
Yeah. So you're buying this like moon cheese, little pack of moon cheese stuff, and you want us to fill 25 cups with whipped cream.
Yes, please.
And I see you have zero dogs with you right now. Be like, yep.
You'd be like, you don't know me.
I'm a guest on the I'm a guest on this cooking show. And they're like, oh, we know that show. That's great. Yeah.
We'll get you the big tray.
Yeah.
Cause at first we were just staple gunning all these trays together and now we learned to make a big one.
Yeah.
Cause it does look a lot funnier when you have a big tray of them and they come at you and you throw the tray up in the air.
Yeah, like Pee-wee at the drive-in.
Yes, exactly.
With the motorcycle gang.
Then you just have to laugh and enjoy the fact that it's just going to be chaos raining around you.
Yeah.
There's nothing I'd like to do more.
How did we get all the way over here?
Vin Diesel. Is that his name?
That is the funniest, like... It took us minutes to get to a different planet.
No, it's the same
in which
planet.
There's a talk show hosted by six dogs. You think that dogs.
Vin Diesel, well, maybe.
I'm just saying it took us no time at all to move so far away from Vin Diesel to... Oh, no. Well, then Emerald's up on the thing and a Marmaduke is pushing it and he's trying to get there.
Like, I just want to be clear. I don't mean actually Marmaduke. I mean a Marmaduke-like dog. A great Dane, but with ears that are pointy, not floppy.
Yeah. So Vin Diesel, Brett.
So Vin Diesel's got a new single out.
It says, I want you to feel this way. Stop feeling that way. Feel this way.
Feel like I do. And I'm going to play a little bit of it for you and then we'll see what it looked like when he premiered it on a Kelly Clarkson show. So here's the single.
Right, Kelly Clarkson has a show and I don't.
Who goes out on a Tuesday night in the storm? Bar's too quiet and the cup of band is too loud. Step outside, I'm about to leave when you walk right on by and I'll just freeze.
Guy sounds like he has a mouth full of chili and he's just not chewing it. He's just trying to talk through the chili and having it spill out of his lower lip. Why are you laughing?
I'm not sure what to make of this. I'm truly... Sounds good. Like, if I heard this and I was just like, oh, here's a new song, I'd be like, that's all right. And it's like, you know, that's Vin Diesel. Like, no, I didn't. It sounds just like a normal song. I guess good for him.
Good for fine.
No, I don't like what's on this screen now. I can say right off the bat, I'm seeing it is a bunch of domino-shaped screens that look to be about 3 feet high, that each one and their space. And don't worry, these are socially distanced, by the way.
Yeah, the screens aren't too close to each other.
Yeah, which is one of those overthinks that people are doing, like, these screens can't be near each other. It's like, the people, they're screens.
Wait, the robot shouldn't kiss.
They're spaced throughout the Kelly Clarkson show studio.
Yes, which, Kelly Clarkson's got these virtual fans.
Except, so you know, what's real in this set is the real guitar is hanging on what is probably a fake brick wall in the back, and then some cool, like, backyard lights, like, strung up, like you're about to, like, put a steak on a grill, then grab one of them acoustic guitars and play Won't Back Down or something.
Yeah, the guitars are all mounted. There's all acoustic guitars mounted to the wall that look untouchable. Like you couldn't pull one off if you tried. The screen, the layout of this theater is kind of like one of those movie theaters you go to where they you can order meals and they could bring you food. Yeah. Where the, it's like it's kind of like
I don't. When those existed, I didn't really like them. It's like kind of worst of both worlds. Like I like restaurants when people bring me food, and I like movie theaters. But it just seemed like, did you have an opinion about those? Oh,
they still exist, and I saw The Irishman in one of them.
Were they like, would you like anything else before part 17 starts? They're only starting the 75th reel of the movie. Do you want a check, or do you want your third meal of the day?
Yeah, I'm going to loop back and start with an appetizer again.
Okay, because it's 6 p.m. and you might be hungry for dinner.
Yeah, I had a sundae about 45 minutes ago.
I served it to you.
I started off with peanut M&Ms. Then I had a quesadilla. Then I had a sundae.
It was lunchtime, yes. That was
Do you have like a Mr. Good bar or what kind of chocolate?
Maybe. We do, but maybe just like a starter salad.
Yeah, let's go with a salad.
Okay.
So this studio audience now, it looks like damned souls trapped in screens. like they're trapped. It's like in Superman 2 when they were trapped and flying through space, just like, oh. So I'm assuming what you're going to do, Brett, is play this and we're going to watch all these people dancing around in their own little private dance party to Vin Diesel's song.
Yeah, I'd say that's a really good prediction. All I know is that Kelly Clarkson is about to debut Vin Diesel's song on her show. And these people are going to be the spectators to it. Let's see what happens here. On a Tuesday night, let's talk.
Can you hit pause on this? Remember when they did Hi-Q on SCTV and they were just like
looks like Marty's character with the comb over.
Lawrence Orbach. I think I saw three people who reminded me of Lawrence Orbach from Hi-Q.
Do you ever like see videos where someone? Like a robot comes in wearing clothes and moves towards the dogs, and the dogs are like, rah, 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 rah. They're like, no. That's not a human. I don't appreciate that it's acting like one.
Yeah. Like the dog doesn't get it, but they know it's wrong.
He gets it. He gets it enough to be like, I know what you're trying to do, and I hate it.
Mm-hmm. These people all seem like they're being held hostage almost.
Because that's like, the other thing is, what are the odds that, you know, if Vin Diesel's going to be playing a show that everyone in the audience would react to it positively? Like, there isn't one person who's just sitting there like, my wife wanted me to go to this taping.
Yeah, I don't like, because they're also dancing in very, they're dancing so they fit on the very narrow screen. They're all hunched up. And there's like people literally doing like finger dancing where they're just like index fingers pointing. It's just like, oh, this is.
And I know that like from the point of view of the producers and the people putting this stuff together, I know that they're all like, look, we're all doing the best we can and we don't have any rule book and we don't know what we're doing. We're just trying not to like have to, you know, quit and cancel the show and and I get that and I respect the effort and the challenges of it, but like this ain't it yet, you know. And it's also, I don't know, I am also kind of, not to be a bummer, but like I'm kind of annoyed that the onus is on the producers of the Kelly Clarkson show to figure out how the world works today as opposed to like people in charge of like, you know, dealing with the actual problem of this virus and how to contain it.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is this is when COVID hits home. This is when COVID hits home.
Okay, guys, that was so fun. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. No, that was a fun show, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, do we have a fun show planned for you next week. Surprise guest is going to be a good one.
And we've been killing it with guests, and our guests are so great because we only choose people we're really excited to talk to, and they're not people that go on every other podcast, and you know, we don't just have them on because they're friends and we owe them favors. We have guests on this show because we're excited to have guests on the show, because we don't need guests on the show. If we can't get a great guest on the show, we're going to have no guests on the show.
Absolutely. So when we do it, we want to do it.
So we have such a great guest coming up next week. It's someone that you love already.
Yep.
And if you love this show, which you must, you shall, you must, you have, and you do, you go and buy some Double Threat merch, which is where, Brett?
You can go to tpublic.com/stores/double-threat. I'll also put a link in the show notes. Just click on that link, and you got Double Threat tees, Double Threat coffee mugs. I actually got my own Double Threat coffee mug in the mail this week. I've been using it. It looks great. A lot of fun stuff on there.
And keep sending us your ideas for t-shirt designs. And
yeah. And also next week, we are going to talk about amongst other things, we will talk about directors in their own movies, who acted, what director was the best acting in their own movie, and what directors have been good in other people's movies. I feel like we can, and maybe we even loop our guest into that, who is also a fan of
movies. An opinionated person about such things. So send in your submissions for best director cameos, and please subscribe to the podcast wherever you subscribe to podcasts, on Apple or whatever podcatcher you use, or on your devices, and leave us reviews that are positive and kind, and tell your friends about us, and tweet at us at Double Threat Pod, and we're on Instagram as well.
Yeah, and I gotta say, all those you've been leaving a lot of great comments on Twitter every week, which is super nice. If you're doing that, go over to Apple Podcasts, leave a comment over there too. You can just copy and paste your Twitter comment over in Apple Podcasts, because those ratings and reviews really do help the show get some more exposure.
And we read all the comments, and we look at all the fan art, and we love the fan art, and we are going to continue to share it with you, and we're going to continue to do the show. And thank you guys again so much for listening. And happy Halloween.
Yes, thank you for listening, and more Double Threat coming your way. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.